I'm Danica Juarez.
And I'm Jan James.
And this is
How's It Hold Up?
Hi, I'm Danica.
And I'm Jan.
And I'm Valerie.
And today we watched the Mickey Mouse cartoon, The Band Concert. A couple of little showkeeping notes up top here. First, you might notice that I sound different, and that's because I've been sick.
Aww.
I'm still working. I don't actually really feel bad anymore. I've just still got phlegm in the throat, and so that's going to affect how I sound.
Maybe me too, probably.
Valerie, some too, maybe. And then secondly, you might have, if you actually keep up on the podcast, noticed that the last couple of big episodes haven't had skip to part of the spoiler alerts, and that's because we're not going to do them anymore. I'm still going to have the spoiler alert section, but after that, you'll kind of have to either decide not to listen anymore if you don't want spoilers, or look at the text description on the episode, and I will give a timestamp for like how long the spoiler section is, so you would have to do some math to go from when I say spoiler alert to when it's done. And this is basically because of Spotify and how their ad system and everything has changed. I just can't really do it the old way anymore, so we need to do it this way. So, back to the cartoon at hand. What did we... who would like to give a spoiler-free or just a plot synopsis of this one? I'll do it. This is Mickey is conducting at a band concert where we also have Goofy, Clarabelle, and Horace playing clarinet, flute, and percussion, respectively. And Donald is there selling ice cream, but then he gets excited about wanting to be in the band and pulls out his flute and tries to play along, except that he's playing a different song than what they're playing. And he gets the whole orchestra to follow him instead of Mickey, which makes Mickey mad. And so they have a back and forth with Donald pulling out like hundreds of flutes, basically. There's stuff with a bee. The band members themselves have a couple of shenanigans going on, and it all kind of builds up to when they play William Tell's The Storm, and at the same time a tornado hits, and they have to deal with the repercussion of that. What did we think of this cartoon?
It was really fun.
Yes, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite cartoons that exists, so I like it.
Aww,
and I recommend it. This was also notably the first Mickey Mouse cartoon produced in color. This is the first time we've seen our boy in color here.
Wow.
And they're understandably is like Donald especially is not really where we're used to seeing him in color yet, but he'll get there. Peter Pig from The Wise Little Hen is also ostensibly
sure.
In this short.
There's pigs in the
as
short.
A band member playing either the trumpet or the tuba. And then the other pig is dubbed Patty Pig.
There's also a pig in the audience.
There seems
Maybe
to be confusion over who is Peter Pig. And the answer is that it doesn't matter because they're all just generic pigs.
Yes.
That don't have anything to do with the character Peter Pig from that short. So who cares? And then the dog character playing the trombone has no official name. So let's get specific then with some details here about this, mostly about this cartoon's legacy and what people think about it. So The Band Concert has become one of the most highly acclaimed Disney short films that exists. Esquire magazine cultural critic Gilbert Selds wrote that none of dozens of works produced in America at the same time in all the other arts can stand comparison with this one. And the Italian conductor Arturo Toscanini was such a fan of The Band Concert that he saw it 6 times in the theater and later invited Walt Disney to his home in Italy.
Oh, that's so neat.
Film critic Leonard Maltin said that The Band Concert is one of the best cartoons ever made anywhere.
Aww.
There are nuances of expression in Mickey's character throughout this film that had seldom been explored in earlier shorts.
Mm-hmm.
The pacing is also entirely different from the standard Mickey Mouse comedies of the early 30s.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to pack in 1,000 gags a minute, The Band Concert takes its time and builds to a crescendo. And finally, in 1994, the band concert was rated third in the book The 50 Greatest Cartoons, which rated the greatest cartoons of all time by members of the field of animation. As a result, it was the highest ranked Disney cartoon on the list and the only one in the top five not produced by Warner Brothers.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, Warner Brothers is making bad cartoons where we're at in the timeline. But eventually, according to this list, they're going to make four of the best cartoons of all time. So.
Wow.
And that to look forward to.
One of them.
Animaniacs? No.
No, the opera short.
Yes.
Yeah, it has to be. It's so good.
Yeah, that and Duck Amuck are the two that I know are in the top five.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, let's talk about how do we feel about that? Do we feel like these guys are huffing their own nonsense, or do we think this is great? Stop laughing at me.
Yeah, I just think you're adorable.
Anyways, please continue.
I was just gonna say I absolutely adored the band members and everybody's commitment to their craft.
Yeah.
And to continue playing their music against all odds. But also this iteration of Mickey just totally cracked me up. Boy, did he take himself seriously.
Yeah, he's got a thing he's trying to do, mm-hmm. and he can't deal with all these distractions.
Yes. But even the intensity where he would be playing, you know, a calm part, and then he would get just almost scary looking, just, you know, fiery and intense, you know.
But then also he always looks silly because his outfit is like three times too big for him.
And he keeps having to pull up his sleeves, and yes, so funny.
What about Donald in this one?
I love his wagging tail, sorry. Donald's wagging tail.
Yeah.
I said that he had a bit of, felt a bit Daffy, which you were like, Daffy doesn't exist yet.
Yeah.
But there's a kookiness to him at the beginning that doesn't quite feel...
like the Donald that you're kind of used to.
Yes, yes. But they're definitely the kind of quick to anger kind of thing was there.
Yeah. I think you're right that the kind of kookiness doesn't stay, but his mischievous streak certainly does.
Definitely.
It just like, yeah, he kind of gets more grounded, I guess, with his mischievous streak. And it's also usually like coming back to bite him in the butt in later stuff. Whereas here, he kind of mostly gets away with stuff.
Right. He's like pulling flutes out of nowhere.
But he definitely does. He does feel like early Daffy. And he does feel like a style of character that Disney doesn't really make much use of going forward, but that is eventually like going to be really big in other cartoons. Tex Avery will really latch on to that style of character, and that's how Daffy starts out and stuff too. Bugs has shades of that when he starts. Like it'll be fascinating to see, but right now it's not really a thing that you see much in animation.
I love how firmly they had established Mickey and things that were going on because, you know, Mickey, they had already set the tone of he was taking this serious. And then that ironclad dedication of all of the band members playing their instrument and following, like even getting fussed at by Mickey or however I would say that, you know, with him hitting the
baton,
you know, to correct them or to make them do something different. But anyway, so all that had been really firmly established. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, here comes Donald screaming his wares, you know, whatever. And I'm like, oh, no. I mean, I immediately was like, oh, no, this isn't going to go well.
And it didn't. You know?
So, yeah, just that kind of thing. That is what was so impressive with this little cartoon because, again, it
really kind of does build like this sense of like place really with these band members on this podium and Donald nearby just being annoyed. Oh my God, I love the part where Donald started playing the flute again and then the nameless dog who's playing the trombone just like trombones over him and rattles him around as like 50 flutes fall out of him and then just deposits him back out and laughs at him.
Yes.
It's great.
Oh,
which is then of course where we get our typical Donald Lemmy Adam trying to fighting pose. So
The bit with the ice cream, there was like, I'm trying to think of how somehow it gets shot into one of the instruments.
Donald throws ice cream at the bee which does hit the bee, but also continues forward into the one of the pigs' trumpets.
Okay, and then that gets splatted on Mickey at some point, and it just starts sliding down the back of his shirt, and then it is so funny because he's trying to ooch it down his back and down his leg or something. Oh my gosh.
And it's especially funny because of how it influences the music and goes from like a William Tell piece into like that, but a variation that's more like, I don't know, like a exotic dancer or something.
Yeah.
As he's like shaking his butt trying to get the ice cream out of his pants. and I think this is a good part to segue a little bit, at least. We can still talk about story and characters, but to talk some about the sound design, because the music in this is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's called the band concert, and so you would expect that there's lots of music, and there is.
The choices that they make to kind of emphasize whatever instrument is on screen. So you'll get close-ups of the flute or the trumpet, and you'll... You know,
that instrument will be at the fore.
Yes, you'll hear that more. And I think, and it allows them to do for some really good audio gags to kind of emphasize, here's what you're listening to, and here's how they react to Mickey's conducting of like being like going so high that it kind of shakes and he cuts it off or he taps on them and it moves to the next instrument. Masterclass in like music and in storytelling with the sound and the music.
And I like how the William Tell overture and what is it? Is it Yankee Doodle that he's playing? That Donald keeps trying to play? Like they match them really well to have the segue into the Yankee Doodle like always work so well that I almost am like forgetting that that's not what they were already playing. And it's just I'm like, oh yeah, this is enraging Mickey right now, understandably, because it's also going really well and smoothly. And he's like, this is not what we're playing.
it was doubly delightful to me this whole short, because I literally lived in a place where I went in the summers. The university there had outdoor, and in this big park close to where I lived, outdoor concerts. And there were many a times that bad weather hit and their music was kind of flying and they had to end up, you know, wrapping up, but they stayed serious with the music and they didn't like just stop a number and then, you know, would have to like put an end to something or whatever, or keep playing, you know, through a little bit of wind or whatever. So it was just...
So you're like seeing these cartoon characters play through a tornado, sucking them up.
Yes, yes. And they just were so dedicated. It was just done so well, because in this tornado, imagine these people playing these instruments, but like their music stand with their music was still kind of in front of them, and they would even like turn a page, you know, in this swirling tornado. Is so good.
And I love the transition into the finale also, which is like Mickey turning the page to the storm, and immediately you can just visually tell, oh, this is a complicated piece, because there's like pieces of it going off of the page that had to be like taped on or something.
Everybody's like getting ready.
Yeah. And then he like starts having them play, and we see a close up of Goofy playing the clarinet, and already there's like a couple of leaves swirling around him. There's a little bit of clouds in one corner of the sky. Like it's already starting to visually transition into the idea that an actual storm is brewing too. And that continues, I think, when we go to Clarabelle, and it's still also kind of looking stormy in the background. And then we like actually hop to, oh, we're somewhere else nearby, we're seeing a tornado go through and start to destroy stuff. It comes over and it gets Donald, and then it sucks everyone up, and they're still playing as it goes, and then the finale of the song hits. I love the moment where it stops and Mickey has the music stop, and everything also on frame stops for a second.
Yeah.
And then he starts playing, and it's like the downward spiral as it's the finale of the piece. Just masterfully done.
Yes. And I mean, talk about, oh, are we mixing in, or are we going to have a separate section for animation?
Well, let's start talking animation. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, I was just immediately struck at how beautiful the color was. I was like, oh my gosh.
Technicolor looks great.
This was almost one of the most beautiful cartoons that I've seen. Maybe it's because of you know, the way they used to, you know, draw it in the black and white. It has such crisp lines. And then to be colored with that, oh, it was just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
And yeah, there's only like two or three, I think, more Mickey cartoons produced in black and white after this. And then they fully transition all Disney cartoons into color.
Okay. Well, it looked gorgeous. And again, you know, we've it's been fun doing these shorts because we've seen this progression, but talk about an absolute seamless blend between them playing the instrumentals and the animation that is, you know, visually showing us.
Valerie even commented that Clarabelle was holding the flute right, which is often not done correctly in animation.
Because Donald wasn't. He was holding it both hands in the same direction.
Which I think is like, I like that they have both in there, because it's like, Donald's like, he's a scamp and he's not doing it the way he should do it because he's not doing anything the way he should.
Yeah.
Like it becomes a character thing rather than an animation error, because you see Clarabelle and you're like, oh, they do know how to do it, right?
Yeah.
Valerie, you had a comment when Goofy and Clarabelle had a little bit of a moment.
Oh, I just that I didn't want to see that.
they're next to each other. Goofy's playing clarinet and Clarabelle's playing the flute. And they like kind of interlock them and like have their fingers go past each other onto the other instrument.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't want to see
You're
that.
Like, this is too intimate right now.
Yeah.
And I guess this is where Goofy and Clarabelle as a couple starts. So sorry, Horace.
Yeah, he was into his percussion.
It doesn't get explored much in the actual classic era Disney, but in like the 2000s and stuff, they start pairing Clarabelle and Goofy up a lot more. And I'm like, where did this come from? And I guess this is where that originated. But it also mostly comes from the fact that Horace is not a character that's used much, so they're like, if we want to pair Clarabelle with someone, we're not going to do it with Donald or Mickey. They have people.
There was also, Danica mentioned, an unnamed dog that looked like a fuzzy, plumper Goofy. It was really cute that was playing.
He was still really thin. I think he just had a poofy kind of face.
Maybe that's what I was thinking. Very cute. I think we talked about this isn't the Donald that I'm used to seeing, because he still has the longer, thinner neck, and he's just overall just not as compact.
His bill is more like round instead of the kind of squarish round shape that it eventually becomes. Yeah, he's just not there yet, but that's honestly, it's true of Goofy and stuff too. Like Goofy kind of barely looks like Goofy in this cartoon.
Yeah.
And he's not really
eyelashes.
And he's not really acting like Goofy at all either. Like Goofy hasn't really become a character yet. But that'll change. He's going to get there this year. So
I really liked how Mickey looked. Mickey looked really cute.
Oh yeah, I love the classic Mickey design. Like they definitely continue to refine Mickey's design and stuff too, but there's definitely a part of me that always loves like the classic look of him with those little black eyes and stuff, instead of the more, I don't know, like colorful eyes and stuff he eventually gets and more detailed looks. Those also look good, but I think there's a reason that that classic Mickey look is one of the ones that's returned to a lot in the modern day too. Let's go on to the part that our podcast is named after. How's it hold up? Good.
Really well.
Good.
Yeah.
I can't. I mean, I guess you could say that there's some fat joke stuff a little bit with the pig at the end.
Sure.
In that he like falls on the tree and the branch like grabs part of his thing, but then he keeps going. It's basically his weight keeps pulling him down, and to the point that he's naked, but then lands in a barrel that covers him up or whatever. And yeah, I mean, I guess that's a joke based on the fatness, but it's also like he was literally just in a tornado and the downward momentum is going to have something like that happen. I guess it's technically a fat joke, but it doesn't really bother me in the way that a lot of them do. So yeah. That's the only thing that comes to mind for me.
Yeah. And then, you know, like legacy wise, it's obviously very well remembered. It shows an inventiveness of the story and the colorized Mickey, you know, which yeah. looks good immediately, and they've got that Technicolor right, so.
And I think also a thing that I don't really see brought up a lot, but that you identified, is I really do feel like this version of Donald is something of a precursor to the screwball characters that other studios eventually create. Mm. Like, I feel like someone saw this and was like, let's go bigger on that, Ethan, you know, and eventually made Daffy, and then it all spiraled from there.
Yeah, he's just like waving his hands around and just like making a flute come out of what looks like thin air.
Yeah,
you shake him and he has them everywhere.
Like, you can just you watch this version of Donald, and like one of the things that also comes to mind for me is like Animaniacs, just like these characters that can just break the fourth wall, yes. or like just do fantastical things just for the purpose of annoying others. Yes. Like, they have seemingly limitless powers in order to do that. Like,
yeah,
it's a thing that cartoons have always been capable of, but that we haven't really seen quite in this form until this one. And it's not really something that continues that much with Mickey cartoons or Disney cartoons in general, but definitely that thought and that through line will continue with other studios.
Yeah, I found it interesting how Donald, like, he's not the point of the cartoon.
There's a pretty big middle section where he's just kind of not there after the ice cream.
Yeah, and then with the storm, he gets caught up in a tree, but then he's the only one left. I don't know, like, the part that he plays isn't big in the overall scheme of the short.
He's there for roughly like half rather than the whole thing.
Yeah, but I mean, he's very funny. They're able to play some bits off of him, but they don't let him take over the whole thing, which it probably could be pretty easy for it to be a fight between Mickey and Donald. Definitely. In that way. Yeah, I think they use him just enough.
When he enters the story, I think part of you expects him to be a mainstay throughout the rest of the cartoon, but that isn't the case.
Yeah.
Like, they utilize him a lot and for good stuff, but then he's kind of gone for a while and then is used more as a stinger and stuff.
Yeah. And then one of the other parts that I liked with Mickey was, I forget what he was doing. Maybe it was just in him trying to, like, put up his sleeves and stuff. Or maybe it was messing with Donald. But how the band reacted to his movements of, like...
There was where he was swatting at a bee at one point.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it was the bee. Like, whenever he was swatting, he would like, swipe up or something. Or, like, hit kind of high in the air. And you'd hear the music go with him. But, yeah, they did such a good job in the relationship between the visuals and the sound and the music.
Truly. Let's go on to our favorites and least favorites. What was your least favorite part in the cartoon?
I'll say what Danica mentioned earlier, where I was like, I don't need to see that, was Clarabelle, like, playing the flute, where it's kind of in the bell of the clarinet, and then they, like, play across each other's instruments in a way I'm like, no thank you.
This is kind of hard, but I think I'm just going to say the pigs falling down the trees and getting caught, you know, with the clothes and stuff.
I'll go with Horace getting a mallet and hitting Goofy to try to hit the bee. Just like, it's a really, maybe not as standard then, but especially now, that's like such a rote gag that you see coming a mile away as soon as the bee like goes on Goofy's head. That is just not very, like, funny or interesting. Although, the way that the music shifts when he does it does heighten it and make it a bit better. And, like, I anticipated the sound change because I've heard this music so much. That I'm like, he's going to hit him and then it's going to be a really low clarinet thing. And that part's good. But the main gag itself is, eh. And that's about the biggest criticism I can give to this thing. What was your favorite moment in the cartoon?
That started a different way.
Yeah. I'm going to just say the finale, when that tornado comes and sucks them all up and they're in the tornado and then deposited out of the tornado. Just, it's great. It's great.
I mean, all of it's very good, but I'll say the kind of preamble to the finale where, like, Mickey turns to the storm and you see the stuff sticking off the page and he's like, all right. And I think Horace as well, like, oh, he takes off his coat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what he's like, does. Oh, I gotta get serious
Yes. They're like, all right, like, we've practiced this. Let's get ready. I like that.
And this is hard. I think I'm going to go with you, Danica. I really liked the just them playing in the Twister, because just the intensity of them, and again, just would crack me up when you would see them with their instrument and yet their music stand would be in front of them and they're just intently looking at their music and playing their little hearts out. So yeah, I think I'll go with that.
Who was your least favorite character? I'll go ahead and throw Goofy under the bus. He's not really doing anything that's particularly goofy, and he looks a bit off.
I'll say Peter Pig, because you don't even know which one he is. I think it's really silly that people are trying to say that one of them is Peter Pig, when you who know which one is he?
Yeah, I mean, maybe in the production notes it labeled one as Peter Pig, but like, it's name only. He doesn't do anything to call back to the wise little hen, like, or the character of Peter Pig, who was basically the same as Donald in that cartoon. Like, yeah.
It's like, maybe if he was lazy and not playing his instrument, like, you know, that one person.
Or
relatable band content. The one person who, like, pretends to play but doesn't kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. I've never known anyone like that. Anyways. But
yeah, like, that could, to me, relate character-wise of, like, oh, yeah, that's probably Peter because he's lazy.
And I think it's also if he had gone on to then star in a bunch of or be a significant part of later cartoons in such a way that you can track the evolution of the character Peter Pig, but he doesn't. He appears in one more cartoon that is also like, really? That's just a pig guy. Like, that could be anyone. And that's like it. I think he appears in comics, but like, that's for nerds.
Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah. It's just, as far as the shorts are concerned, Peter Pig is in one. Like, he doesn't matter past that. But anyways.
I think I'm going to go with the pigs also, just because they just weren't as interesting to me.
Who was your favorite character?
I think I'm going to give it to Mickey. I just love the intensity of his you know, directing, or, you know, just and just the change in his demeanor depending on what the tempo or depending on the content of the song. I just loved it.
Yeah, I'll give it to Mickey because he shows a range of emotion and character that we generally don't get to see, I think. The, you know, intensity with the conducting, but also the, like, no-nonsense with Donald. Like, immediately he just breaks his instrument. You're like, he's going to kill that duck. Which, actually, another good exchange was Mickey breaking the flute. Then Donald plays or takes it out, breaks his own flute.
Yeah. Because he knows and hands it to Mickey and is just laughing.
Yes. I'll give it to Mickey.
I would have given it to Mickey, but since you both did, I'm going to give it to Donald because he deserves a shout out. He's very funny in this cartoon, definitely. Even if it's not the Donald that we're really used to temperament-wise, there's still definitely bits there that you're like, yeah, that is Donald. He's just a little bit different. And regardless, he's funny, so.
Them having him wag his tail, sorry, crack me up so much.
Oh, it's such a cute little way to show emotion.
Just excited about all this.
Let's go on to our overall consensus and what we would rate it. I think it's safe to say we all recommend it.
Definitely. Yes. It feels like this will be like a shorter episode, but just honestly, it was just very good. Like, we could talk about all of it for a very long time, or just like, we saw it and we understand. This was a delightful short, looked good, sounded good, did something different than what we've generally seen. So definitely recommend it. I'll give it a 4.75.
Oh, good. Okay. I wasn't sure if I was going to go. I knew I was going to go at least 4.5. I wasn't, but I think I will agree with 4.75. And because again, it was just, it looked visually beautiful. It was so entertaining. And again, I absolutely loved the characterization of Mickey in this. And yeah, all of it was really good.
I'll just give it a straight up 5. This is a very good cartoon. And if you haven't seen it, you should watch it. Yeah, maybe we're hyping it up so much that you'll watch it and be like, eh. But whatever. It's a classic piece of cinema. So
yeah,
I recommend it.
Yeah.
Thank you all very much for listening.
Thank you.
Next time, we will be watching a Silly Symphonies cartoon.
Oh.
That is a, I think the first version that we that we will be seeing of the Tortoise and the Hare. So, join us next time to see that. Bye.
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 This has been How's It Hold Up with Danica Juarez and Jan James. You can find our podcast on Twitter at How's It Hold Up Pod. That's with each word capitalized and no apostrophe. Also, if you'd like to support us, we have a Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/user?u=279-0566. Every little bit helps, and even with a minimum pledge, you get access to things you won't hear in our main podcast feed. Check it out for more info. The two pieces of music used in this episode were created by Kevin MacLeod. You can find both The Curtain Rises and Cool Cats at incomptech.com. That's incomptech.com. Both songs were licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. More info on that can be found at http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0. Thanks for listening.
It felt like especially relatable in a band kid way. There was definitely things that felt familiar or relatable. I'm curious if somebody who like hasn't been in band if it's taken a little differently.
Yeah, but if you've attended an outdoor concert,
yeah. We all bring our own experiences. Relate, yes.